Good afternoon. This is the Senate K-12 Finance and Policy Committee. It is about 3:05, February 7th. We will now come to order. Now, before we start anything, Senator Newman will get his computer up. And I want to let everybody know this, as we get used to this whole setup again, this hybrid, if you're in this room and you have the computer at the desk, I think most of us are aware of this by now, mute your computer. Do the F1 on your PC and keep that muted. No matter what it says on the screen, you keep that muted. All right? This other note here. If you want to talk, it'll have something come up on the screen that says you have to unmute, but don't do that. Just close it out. And if you want me to see you raise your hand in your remote, then the best way to do that is have your pretty face on the screen. All right. So with that, any questions, Newman? All right. So with that, we're going to get started. So welcome back, members. Good to see everybody back in the room today. Before we do the formal presentation, I'd like just briefly go around the room and introduce yourselves, and I'll not forget the amazing staff on remote, okay? So why don't we start with Senator Coleman down there.
Hello, my name is Senator Coleman. I represent District...
We're good.
Okay. Are we good? Hi, I'm Julia Coleman. I represent Senate District 47, which is pretty much all of Carver County.
Senator Swazinski, Eden Prairie, Minnetonka. It's good to be back.
Good afternoon. Senator Zach Duckworth, District 58, Lakeville, Farmington, and Southern Dakota County.
Judy Donovan, Legislative Assistant to the Chair.
Hello, Greg Marcus, Committee Administrator.
Senator Roger Chamberlain, I represent Senate District 38, Antelis Redistricted, Lionel Lakes.
Ed Cook, I'm a caucus researcher for the Republican Caucus.
Senator Justin Eichhorn, Grand Rapids.
Hi, Chuck Wigger, Maplewood, Senate District 43, several suburbs in Northeast Metro for Washington and Ramsey County.
Senator Scott Newman, I'm from Hutchinson. I have all or parts of McLeod County, Meeker County, Sibley County, and Wright County.
Victor Florell, Legislative Assistant to Justin Eichhorn.
Now we have, why don't we start with Anne Marie and go to that side. You're muted, Miss Marie Lewis.
Now, Anne Marie Lewis, Senate Counsel.
Miss Helja.
Betsy Gilseth, Legislative Analyst from Senate Counsel.
And I'm Jenna Hofer. I am the Nonpartisan Fiscal Analyst for the committee.
Now I know we have, I'll ask Senator Wigger, where's your staff here, Senator Wigger?
Hi, I think you're waiting for me. This is Dan Alling, Senate DFL Research. And I'm going to be announcing to the committee that these are my final 2 weeks of as a Senate staffer because I'm retiring on February 18th.
Oh, no. Oh, we'll have to have a word when we're done here before we end this committee. Thank you. So with that, members, thank you all. What we have here today, I think, is pretty exciting. We'll start the session off today and Wednesday, I believe, with some good news, with good stuff. Bipartisan issues, we all agreed on these things that will positively impact the lives of children in this state. Vitally important. So Monday, today and Wednesday, good bipartisan efforts, and they are achieving things and having results for our children. So with that, I would like to welcome, I have the first on my list is Catherine Myers. She's co-executive director of Live More, Screen Less. They'll be the primary presenters today in our focus on digital well-being. Thank you, Ms. Myers. Welcome to the committee. You can begin with your testimony and presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain and members of the committee. My name is Catherine Myers.
Did you turn on that mic there, Ms. Myers?
Get closer. Start again.
Okay, that sounded better, yeah. It's probably hard to get too close there, I suppose.
I'll sit up. How's that? Thank you, Chair Chamberlain and members of the committee. My name is Catherine Myers. I'm the co-founder and co-executive director of Live More, Screen Less, and former high school English teacher of 25 years. After seeing all of you only through Zoom, I have to say you're a bit taller in person. Thank you, Chair Chamberlain, for arranging this time for us to be here before you today. We are honored to be with you this afternoon at the Senate building. 1 year ago, we came before you for a 90-minute hearing to share testimonies from across the state about the impact of technology on young people. You heard us and you acted. Thank you for your unanimous vote and bipartisan support of the Digital Wellbeing Bill and for recognizing that the benefits of technology are also tangled with myriad negative effects on the well-being, learning, and safety of young people. You all accomplished something big, something our nation is just now beginning to recognize on a broader scale. In June of 2021, you passed the nation's first digital well-being law. You did this ahead of the dramatic revealing of Facebook and Instagram's internal findings of youth harm being shared on the national stage of the United States Congress. You passed the law before the U.S. Surgeon General issued a warning about the youth mental health crisis. You are to be applauded for being a leader in Minnesota and a champion of young people in our nation. Well done, and thank you. We have several testifiers with us today, as you can see behind me, who are here to share with you the progress of Live More, Screen Less, and to address the continued need for strategies and support for student mental health, and in particular, ways technology can negatively affect the well-being of students. This afternoon, you will hear testimony from Live More co-founder Marie Hampton, who's here, and staff of Live More, Liv Volkman-Johnson and Amy Webster. Two of our board members, Chair Michael Keller and Treasurer James McGuire, and Youth Council advisor and intern Danielle Robinson, a familiar face to you all. We also have a team of testifiers from Faribault Public Schools, where Live More, Screen Less has been actively providing digital well-being education, communication, and systems change for the district since May of 2019. Additionally, Melanie Ferris, our external evaluator, is with us, formerly of Wilder Research Center. Committee, when we met with you 1 year ago, we were a small but mighty team. Two co-founders, a board of directors, and an impressive youth council. With your direct support, we now have an even mightier team to increase the capacity of our organization to successfully plan, implement, and evaluate the four big goals of the Digital Wellbeing Law, and to ensure to you and Minnesota taxpayers that we are fiscally responsible. The four main projects we are implementing under the state grant are an online library of resources for parents, teachers, and young people, a network of organizations who we will partner with to collaborate and coordinate a communications campaign targeting parents, a Train the Trainer series for educators and other adults working with young people, and a peer-inspired and led digital well-being education and leadership program for students to support digital well-being among their peers and with younger students. It is through these projects that we will bring digital well-being awareness and education to Minnesotans from Ely to Albert Lea and Detroit Lakes to North Branch. Greg, I believe we have copies of the progress report. Is that right? So I'll continue. We have copies of our progress report here to share with you. The report outlines Livermore's expenditures per grant project, the activities accomplished, and objectives met. The 15-page document tells the story of our organization working hard to build the team, the infrastructure, the programs and services, and resources needed to meet the critical need of supporting the health and well-being of young people so they can thrive in a digital age. Committee, as you listen over the next hour, I sincerely hope that you will continue to ask yourself what role you can play to support the well-being of today's young people. 1 year ago, we called on you to act, and you did. Today, we call on you to continue to harness your position of leadership to prioritize the mental well-being of our children and youth, and to ensure technology is not a barrier to their health, their well-being, and their learning. Consider ways you can use your influence in your office, when you're meeting with constituents, in your communities, when engaging with your voters, and in these great and hallowed halls where your power to pass laws can work to uplift citizens and inspire a better tomorrow for today's youth. Thank you, Chair Chamberlain.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Next I have on my list is Mr. Keller. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and your position for the record. Thank you.
Good. Can you hear me okay? That sounds pretty good. Stating for the record, my name is Michael Keller. I am the chair of the board for Live More, Screen Less. And thank you, KK, for passing the computer along. And thank you, Senator Chamberlain and the rest of the committee for giving us the opportunity to speak before you today. So in terms of reintroducing myself, I think some of you may know me from a previous engagement, but thought I'd cover it again. Recently board chair as of January, and will serve in that role for 18 months until June of 23. I'm the former CEO of Pearson Candy Company, and before that, the chief marketing officer for International Dairy Queen. Perhaps most relevant to Live More, Screen Less and why I'm here, I am a bullying victim and survivor who believes deeply in Live More, Screen Less's mission to advocate and promote digital well-being for and with young people through a collaborative and comprehensive community approach. It really strikes deep in my heart. So what I wanted to do in just a few minutes today is share with you the progress we are making as a board in support of the really exciting progress that Live More, Screen Less as an organization is making. KK, Marie, other board members, and I have aligned around what we think are the two right goals to support Live More, Screen Less at this juncture. One is to be clear on how we would best support Live More, Screen Less's day-to-day operations. And the second is to identify and help execute against some of our long-term goals for long-term success. So in terms of those day-to-day operations, in red on the slide or chart in front of you, you'll see the four pillars of work that KK just described to you. Those are the ones that are funded by Minnesota Department of Education. KK covered them, but they are the resource hub, communications campaign, train the trainer, and a peer education platform. In addition to this activity and closely related to it is an ongoing pilot in Faribault, in addition to other significant activities that Live More, Screen Less is undertaking to explore all the opportunities and chase down all the opportunities in front of the organization. Our role as it relates to these day-to-day activities is support and guidance. And we will take that very seriously as we stand behind and side by side KK Marie and the team to move everything forward. We will monitor and evaluate programs, outcomes, impact and performance. We will review the financial health of the organization on a bi-monthly basis during our board meetings. And we will review the executive directors and their performance twice annually. In terms of the longer term aspects and the needs of the organization, in purple on the right hand side, you will see the idea of establishing our long term funding model and funding strategy and creating a multi-year strategic plan. We want to get after both to develop and design them to carry us beyond the current Minnesota Department of Education funding, let's say, for example, through to the 2025, with the intention of ensuring organizational sustainability and viability. So our role here with the long-term activities is a more active role in working with the executive directors and some of our key advisors and team members, and we will proceed with these things in purple together as we design them out over the coming months and quarters. One important note, though, while we must plan for and develop our other funding sources, we would, of course, welcome the opportunity to continue to partner with the Minnesota Department of Education on an ongoing basis. So in closing, we're very excited about and very energized around Live More Screen Less's future and our ability to make a meaningful difference in the lives of Minnesota educators, Minnesota parents, and especially Minnesota youth. Thank you again for your time this afternoon. I'm now going to turn it over to James McGuire, Treasurer of the Board.
Thank you, Mr. Keller. Mr. McGuire. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and your position for the record. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm James McGuire. I'm treasurer of Live More Screen Less. So my primary message today is to just illustrate Live More's finances since inception of the MDE grant. So I have the pleasure of seeing where every dollar spent goes to. And when we set our budget roughly a year ago and presented that to the committee, I'm happy to report that Live More is very much on track in terms of spending, especially on its four core programs: Digital Wellbeing Resource Hub, creating a network of organizations, Train the Trainer series, and peer-inspired digital wellbeing. So as illustrated, KK, our Live More's people, KK Marie, the fantastic team, Youth Council employees, are and should be our primary expenditure. So in other words, our people are our service and vice versa. Since September, Live More has ramped up its spending and built out a strong org chart of full-time and contracted specialists. The charts presented summarize spending to date. The vast majority of dollars spent can be allocated directly to a program you have heard or will hear about today. So the chart shown right now, chart one, shows spending on grant funds budgeted versus actual. So that's just over $80,000 since September 1st. As you can see, we're on track in all categories. This includes all necessary costs, payroll, et cetera, to ramp up to where we're at today as a fully staffed organization.
Hey, thank you, Mr. McGuire, but I do have just a couple of questions since money is always an issue and particularly sensitive these days. Total spending, you said, was how much? Just over $80,000?
That's just spending allocated toward the grant to date.
So that's 73 plus all those things, okay. And will you be compiling a more clear financial report? Like you said, I'm not that familiar with government funding and nonprofit accounting, but you'd be able to provide a report about those dollars to those programs and how that's allocated?
Yes, and we can provide in greater detail as well, but a lot of that should be within this report too, exactly how much has been allocated to each different program to date.
All right. And one last question. In this document, the report, Appendix A, I'm missing something. So on the top, you have actual grant spending versus budget on track. Then grant spending versus LMSL's total spending on track. Okay, gotcha. I answered my own question.
Thank you, Mr. No worries. That was a good segue to the second chart, just to briefly touch on it. That shows spending allocated to the grant versus total organizational spend. So okay. Just showing that 80% or so total Live More spending is allocated to the grant, while the remaining spending comes from existing sources of Live More spending. So, and then I guess that's got all I have in terms of prepared remarks, but just personally want to do a test to the fact that Live More is meeting its expectations from its financial standpoint. KK and Marie and our finance director, Bryce, who's awesome, just resulting in excellent stewardship of the ND grant funding to date. So.
Right. Thanks. Thank you very much. Members, Senator McEwen.
Oh.
Kunesh, Senator Kunesh.
Thank you. Senator Kunesh here. Oh, I do have a question for your treasurer.
Hey, go ahead, Senator Kunesh.
Thank you. Under the title of human resources, can you maybe explain what that means? Like, can you elaborate on or define human resources on these graphs?
Mr. McGuire?
Yeah. So human resources spending is essentially, we can break it out into three different categories, but it's salaries and wages, it's consulting fees, and it's benefits for Live More's employees. And so, as I said at the outset, is that Live More's core spending is allocated to its people because they are the service. And so while it's HR spending, those dollars can be allocated to specifically to the programs, which I'm not sure if it's gonna go into too much detail in the report, but you can see by different project where that money is going. So KK and Marie, for example, allocate over 90% of all their time to the specific programs. So while it says HR in this bucket for the purposes of showing it on a graph, it says HR, but it's really HR dedicated to a specific program, the Resource Hub, for example, or any of the other programs. So,
thank you, Mr. McGuire. Senator Kunesh?
Thank you, Chair. And just one more question. Are these human resources, are these new employees, or are these employees that have been with you for a while? Have you perhaps had to hire additional staff to fill this grant?
Yeah, I can give my answer, and then KK and Marie can probably elaborate. We've hired two additional full-time employees since the grant funding kicked in, and then along with several contracted specialists. So we have four full-time employees, and then a lot of the very specialized nature of the business allows kind of the contract for full-time employees plus contracted employees allows KK and Marie to go out and find specialists for specific things, whether it's designing curriculum, reviewing curriculum, and that sort of thing. So that's the short answer, but I don't
know. Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Senator Kunesh, one more, you promised.
Thank you, Chair. So these specialists, are they now implementing actual, the curriculum directly? Has that already started? And are these the new employees that are face-to-face with the schools?
Senator Chamberlain, may I answer the question?
Myers?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Chamberlain. Thank you, Senator Kunesh, for your questions. As noted on Appendix B, you will see our current organizational chart. And as I formerly referenced, moving from an organizational chart from a year ago that included Marie and me and our board and our youth council. And so from that point, these are our new hires, both in a full-time sense. And in a minute, you'll be hearing from both of our newer full-time hires, Liv Volkman-Johnson and Amy Webster, who are currently working on and beginning to implement the four programs, as well as Marie and I continuing to do so. As well as this afternoon, you'll hear from Faribault Public Schools and the work that we have been, are, and continue to implement in the schools.
Thank you.
More to come, I think, is what it is.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Anything else about this particular thing? All right, thank you. So next, thank you, Mr. McGuire. Thank you, Ms. Myers. Next on the list is Ms. Liv Volkman-Johnson. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and your position with the organization for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain, members of the committee. My name is Liv Volkman Johnson. I am the communications and office manager at Livemore Screenless. I am a born and raised Minnesotan, attending K through 12 at Richfield Public Schools, and receiving my bachelor's in communications from Winona State University. Let me move this up a little. While I'm 26 years old now, I am not far removed from the feeling of being a young teen, eager to fit in with my peers, on the outside looking into the world of social media. In fact, when I was in high school and even in college, there was an expectation to be involved in social media. It was and still is seen as a red flag to have zero social media presence for any reason. That pressure to stay attuned to the digital world has followed me through early adulthood, and I reached a breaking point during the COVID-19 pandemic. The obligation to be present, active, and engaged in social media on numerous platforms affected me mentally, cognitively, and socially. It poses a question. If I, a young adult who has spent years educating herself on communication and mental health coping strategies, have struggled with the pressures and expectations of social media, how do we expect our young people to navigate today's fast-paced, ever-advancing technological society? In November 2021, U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy issued a public advisory titled Protecting Youth Mental Health, which outlined the severity of our country's youth mental health crisis. Murthy notes that in 2019, a national survey of high school students found that 1 in 3 male students and 1 in 2 female students reported feelings of sadness or hopelessness. This is a 40% increase in 10 years. Murthy acknowledges the impact that technology and social media have had on youth mental health in helpful and harmful ways. The most important distinction he makes is this. When not deployed responsibly and safely, these tools can pit us against each other, reinforce negative behaviors like bullying and exclusion, and undermine the safe and supportive environments young people need and deserve. Young people need and deserve safe, supportive environments, and Murthy stresses that it is up to us, all of us, to create these environments. Livemore Screenless's implementation of the whole school, whole community, whole child model directly supports Murthy's call to action. We all can support youth mental health in addressing the negative effects of screen misuse while promoting the balanced, intentional use of technology. You all have already taken a big step towards meaningful, lasting change by supporting Livemore Screenless mission, advocating and promoting digital well-being for and with young people through a collaborative and comprehensive community approach. I am able to stand, figuratively, in front of everyone here today because of your support, so I thank you for this opportunity and humbly ask for your continued support. We all have a role to play in addressing this crisis and investing in the health and well-being of our country's young people. To quote Murthy's advisory, this is the moment to demand change, with our voices and with our actions. Only when we do will we be able to protect, strengthen, and support the health and safety of all children, adolescents, and young adults, and ensure everyone has a platform to thrive. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Volkman Johnson. So you're a fairly recent graduate from Richfield, you said?
Graduated from Richfield in 2013, graduated from Winona in 2017.
Okay, all right, thanks. All right, thank you very much. Members, any questions? All right, thank you very much. Next on my list is Ms. Marie Hampton. Welcome to the committee, and please state your name and position with the organization for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain and committee members, for inviting us here today. My name is Marie Hampton, and I am the co-founder and co-executive director of Livemore Screenless. I'm really pleased that you have focused on student mental health and technology today. They have some big events that KK referred to in her earlier talk. On September 14th, 2021, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal by Jeff Horowitz. The title of the article stunned the nation and reverberated throughout all the news outlets. The title was, Facebook Knows Instagram is Toxic for Teen Girls, Its Own In-depth research shows a significant teen mental health issue that Facebook downplayed in public. Nationally, a cascade of events followed this news. KK and I were not surprised by the findings revealed in this article. We've been keeping up with the scientific research that points to a strong correlation between the overuse of digital media and mental health issues of young people. This scientific research is really foundational to the work of our organization. The Wall Street Journal article revealed that Facebook conducted a deep dive for 2 years, examining the use of its products on teen mental health. Facebook Inc.'s research used 3 key methods to understand the impact of technology on the mental health of tens of thousands of teens in the US and the UK. They used focus groups, surveys, and they did some teen diary analysis. Their internal research revealed that Facebook products, most notably Instagram, are causing significant teen mental health problems. I want to share just a few findings from inside Facebook. This is from their own internal research. Instagram is harmful for a sizable percentage of its users, most notably teenage girls. Comparisons on Instagram can change how young women view and describe themselves. 1 in 3 teen girls said that when they felt bad about their bodies, Instagram made them feel worse. In the recent report on body image, 40% of boys experienced negative social comparison while on Instagram. Among teens who reported suicidal thoughts, 13% of British users and 6% of American users traced their desire to kill themselves on Instagram. A quote from a Facebook researcher, teens blame Instagram for increases in the rate of anxiety and depression, and this reaction was unprompted and consistent across all groups. So there were some national events following this big headline and article. One of which was a series of bipartisan hearings led by Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut and Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. The senators grilled big tech company leaders, holding their feet to the fire for the mental health harms they have caused America's children and teens. Frances Haugen, a former Facebook product manager and whistleblower, testified before the Commerce Committee and shared reams of Facebook data that the company had kept hidden from the public. And I just have to say, she's from Iowa. Midwesterner. On the home front, Live More Screenless also took actions in response to the Facebook files. We shared news about the Facebook files in our public communication, in a workshop with ninth graders at Hopkins Junior High. We shared the Wall Street Journal article, and we pointed to the fact that Facebook is a $100 billion industry, and the company is making money off of their attention. We connected with our national partners to discuss why we can work collaboratively together. I'm a member of the Children's Screen Time Action Network's Online Safety and Cyberbullying Workgroup. This is a national work group. I co-wrote 8 survey questions about the teens' use of social media, online challenges, and gaming for consideration in the next version of the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance Survey. This is a national survey of high school, middle school students, and is conducted every 2 years. Future Minnesota student health surveys should integrate these questions into future surveys of students so that we can better understand mental health trends as they relate to screen use. We have a slide that shows our partners, our school, our state, and our national partners. In 2019, when we created Live More Screenless, we understood the complexity of the issue we were tackling, and we knew that partnerships would be critical to our efforts. We understood that a complex problem requires a comprehensive solution. We deliberately set out to establish relationships with schools, Minnesota organizations, the government sector, and national partners aligned with Live More Screenless's digital well-being approach. For example, we have been collaborating with MDE's Dr. Liv Christensen, the Early Learning Services Specialist. She's providing statewide education and communication about the Minnesota screen time legislation, which places limits on screen time for children in publicly funded preschools and kindergarten, And I want to shout out to Senator Swedinsky for being an author of this important legislation. For Dr. Christensen, we've shared current research about the effects of screens on our youngest learners. We've shared our digital well-being professional development education efforts with early childhood, K through second grade teachers at Faribault Public Schools. We've provided written content about digital well-being for MDE's screen time guidance packet that's going to be sent throughout the state of Minnesota. And we've been in discussion about presenting at MDE's annual Early Learning Summit this May. I want to thank you for your leadership and support of digital well-being in Minnesota. The safety of children online has united Republicans and Democrats nationally and locally. We celebrate your efforts to support Minnesota as a national leader of digital well-being for and with young people. Thank you, Chair Chamberlain, and thank you to the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Hampton. Just a quick question for clarification. So these in the partnerships you have, they're helping you with information, and then as a result, you're gathering and putting it all together, and then you're sharing it back out to, say, schools and giving sessions and seminars, and it'll eventually be part of the online library. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And then in addition to that, so KK mentioned this online resource hub and this communication campaign targeting parents. We are working with partners. We the word collaborative is in our mission statement, and we need to collaborate with others in this important work. So some of those partners listed are ones that we are collaborating with as we prepare that online resource hub and the communication campaign.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next up is...
Mr. Chair? This is Jason Senator Isaacson.
Senator Isaacson, thank you. Go ahead.
I have a question for the last speaker, if she can come back up. Sorry.
No, it's no problem. Hello.
Thank you. Hi there. Are you focused, and will it be a focus, and if this was covered already, I do apologize. I was trying to get to the meeting to get here in time, on the content of what they're seeing or the time in which they're spend seeing it? Mm-hmm. Is there a delineation between the two? You know what I mean? I deal with this at home with my kids, and we've had to limit so they don't not allow screen time on the weekdays because it distracts them. But then sometimes it's also like on YouTube watching something fun and then YouTube that they're not watching. How do you look at the content as a part of this discussion versus the time spent on it?
Thank
you. Ms. Hampton.
That's a great question. We attend to both. We are about balanced and intentional use of screens. And oftentimes we talk about the use of screens that both either active or passive use. Mm-hmm. And so there's amazing opportunities that are can be found with screen-based video editing or creating music and creating videos. There's lots of great ways to use technology. What we want to do is bring attention toward how young people are using technology and how it is making them feel. So
thank
we
you.
Attend to both screen time and to the content that young people are using.
Mr. Chair, one more question, please.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Isaacson. Go ahead.
And I know that we're kind of like inventing this as we go, which is really, I get how that's, you know, it's kind of the Wild West as you figure that out, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that I see the struggles with screen time as much as anybody with three kids that are addicted to Minecraft and want to play it all the time, right? My question is, though, as you move forward, do you think you'll be developing, is it a plan to develop a more robust understanding? Like one of the things I'm concerned about teaching my kid is, like, sometimes my kids come back, they saw a video on YouTube and they report back to me about how many megalodons there are in the ocean, right? Now, obviously, that's kind of harmless and be kind of cool if they found one, but that's not the point, right? Because we know megalodons don't exist. How do you plan on talking to them about understanding that? Because just because you see it in a video, like just because you see something on YouTube doesn't mean that it's accurate? Or how do you talk about, and is that the purview you guys want to get into in terms of understanding how to use it intelligently and to discern? Is that something that you guys hope to focus on down the road or no?
Yeah, another great question. So we use 5 dimensions of well-being in our approach to digital well-being, one of which is cognitive and physical, mental, social, and emotional. So in our education with young people and with parents and with educators, we really attend to how overuse and misuse can impact the well-being in those five dimensions, as well as what can you do? What are the solutions around digital well-being using those five dimensions to frame those up? So one of the strategies that we're really excited about is our peer education strategy, where we will be training young people to then share digital well-being practices, awareness, with other young people. And we really feel like that's a powerful solution. And I do want to say that with the approaches and the strategies that we are using, those are evidence-based. They come from public health, and they come from education.
Mm-hmm. Senator Chamberlain, may I also address the question?
Yeah. Yes, Ms. Myers.
Senator Isaacson, thank you so much for bringing up these good points. And I think our workshops that we have entitled Technology is Not Neutral gets exactly to your question, in that we are so pleased to hear you also bringing that up. For far too long, we have been smitten by the bells, whistles, colors, and capability of technology, and we have missed the razor blade edge, sharp edges of it. And so that is what we are about, is bringing that to light and moving toward digital well-being, balanced, intentional use of technology. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Is that good, Senator Isaacson? Looks like it.
For right now, it is. Thank you. Right,
thank you. So next up is Ms. Amy Webster. So we have a deadline at 4:15, but we still have plenty of time. I think we do 3 minutes or so for each person will be good. So I don't want to rush folks. It's just something came up at 4:15 today. All right. So Ms. Webster, welcome to the committee. Please state your name and position with the organization, and you may start. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Amy Webster. Thank you, Chair Chamberlain and members of the committee. My name is Amy Webster, and I refer to myself as an adopted Minnesotan. I grew up outside of Boston. Going to college here introduced me to a kinder and gentler way of being. I am a 42-year-old licensed school counselor, parent, wife, neighbor, friend, middle child, and newly hired digital well-being youth program manager at Live More Screen Less. I was trained in the art and science of school counseling at the oldest public school in the nation, Boston Latin School. I served as a school counselor there for 4 years, and most recently at Washburn High School in Minneapolis for the past 9. Our young people are awe-inspiring, resilient, and also hurting. We know this by the numbers of students who are receiving supports and special education services for emotional disabilities, students who are receiving 504 health plans. We know attendance records, we know dropout rates, graduation rates, therapy participation, ER hospitalization admittance, waitlists for therapy, and through countless, countless conversations, our young people are hurting. All of us in the room were once teens, and I bet we all have stories of events we experienced of taunting, bullying, or harassment. What is so different about when we grew up and the exosystem or air that our young people are breathing is that when events now, they are recorded for all to see. And while relational aggression we experienced often was related to a space and time, events now feel impossible to escape from because they are on the internet, which is 24/7 and available everywhere. I worked with a 7th grade student in Boston who was kind, funny, well-liked, and adjusted. Also, he was disciplined for bullying behavior. Months later, I asked him to write about his experience to share. For context, Phoebe Prince, who he references, died by suicide on January 14, 2010. These are his words. Cyberbullying. It could start with a joke, maybe even two. You never think it could happen to you. Before you know it, things get out of hand. To this day, I don't understand why I said the mean things that I did. Now it is my job to get rid of this plague that haunts my generation, all of the cyberbullies throughout the nation. I know I'm a good person, I know I'm a good guy, But why did I say these things that made a girl cry? To be cool, to be funny? I still don't know why. I learned it the hard way, so take it from me. Think about the type of person you want to be. If you wouldn't put it on a front lawn sign, then don't put it on Facebook for anyone to find. Thinking about what I said makes me wince, because you never know who could be the next Phoebe Prince. It could start with a joke, maybe even two. Cyberbullying could happen to you. Following Phoebe Prince's death, her school district passed more comprehensive anti-bullying policy, and it galvanized people to enact stricter anti-bullying legislation by the Massachusetts State Legislature. Senators, I thank you for creating legislation here with funding in Minnesota that works on a solution to this epidemic. Researchers of mental health and human development name risk and protective factors which shape us. According to these adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs research, some examples of individual and family risk factors are families that are isolated from and not connected to other people, parents experiencing high levels of parenting or economic stress. Wow, I relate with pandemic and parenting stress. While we know about these risk factors, we also know a lot about resiliency and protective factors. Some protective factors include children who have positive friendships and peer networks, families with strong social support networks and positive relationships with the people around them. I have seen firsthand the power of healing that happens when students come together in a space where they feel safe, seen, heard, and valued, and when they are working together on a common goal. The Respect Initiative raised awareness and brought tools to students around anti-bullying and peer mentoring club, created accepting community and healthy relationships. These were two such examples I witnessed of students leading and co-creating impactful, positive change. As Digital Wellbeing Youth Program Manager, I bring my passion and learning to peer education, which seeks to create authentic community, space to listen and meaningfully connect, to empower young people to move towards digital well-being, beginning with themselves, to build awareness of technology and social media's design and its effects, to create space for students to imagine and define for themselves what intentions and balance they seek, and to share tools for living so that they can then inspire, partner, and lead their peers and communities. Senators, I thank you for recognizing the importance of addressing mental health and technology through a comprehensive community approach that Live More embodies. Thank you for your attention and action.
Thank you very much, Ms. Webster. So it's not Dr. Webster, you said? It's okay. All right, thank you. Not that it matters. It would if you were dying. Well, never mind. I've already screwed that up. I retract everything from that. We'll erase that. So next up is Danielle Robinson. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and position with the organization for the record. Thank you, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain, members of the committee. My name is Danielle Joy Robinson. I am a youth council advisor and intern for Live More Screen Less. I am 19, almost 20 years old, and I'm a sophomore in college at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. Currently, I am majoring in communication studies, and by the end of the year, hopefully double minoring in justice and peace studies and environmental sustainability. About a year ago, I sat before you all over Zoom and gave a personal testimony about my own relationship with screen usage and also spoke on behalf of Live More Screen Less's digital well-being bill. I first want to thank you all for your conscientiousness, your willingness to listen to the testimonies that were brought in front of you, and taking action where action was needed. I also want to thank you for your passion for mental well-being, intentional screen usage, and providing an environment where young people have a voice to speak on issues that are corrupting our society and world. Advancements in technology within the last 20 years have allowed us to shop online, update our friends and families on our lives, efficiently communicate with our circle of friends and acquaintances, and a plethora of other advantages. It isn't hard to see how beneficial our devices are and will continue to be. What we often neglect to pay attention to, however, is just exactly how digital media misuse is impacting our mental health, and specifically the mental health of students in school. We are currently living in a world where the number of likes on a post determines our worth, where the amount of followers determines our popularity, and where we compare our real lives to others' online lives. The constant dopamine hits that we receive as a response to a notification and external reassurance over time will take a toll on our mental health. I have an 8-year-old niece who has admitted to being addicted to video games and her smartphone. One day, my mom asked her how she felt about not being able to bring her phone to school. Her response to us was, "When I don't have my phone, all I am thinking about is my phone. When I'm in class, it's difficult to focus because all I'm thinking about is playing Roblox when I get home." I could give you a prolonged list of statistics and facts that show how our devices are inhibiting our sleep patterns, or how Instagram is toxic for teen girls, or how it's nearly impossible to be productive when your phone is in sight. But what I hope to get across is that these aren't just numbers and facts. This is real life. And if my 8-year-old niece has separation anxiety from her phone, then we're doing something wrong and something needs to change. The first step to fixing a problem is acknowledging that there's a problem in the first place, and then discussing ways to combat that. On October 15th, 2021, I had the incredible opportunity of speaking on a panel with former governor of Massachusetts and current co-director of the Bipartisan of Future Technology Commission, Deval Patrick, as well as 10 other youth leaders across the nation for the 2021 Youth for Youth Summit. On this panel, we talked about the future of technology and what that might look like in the fast-growing society that we're living in. I shared with Governor Patrick the success of Minnesota's Digital Wellbeing Bill, the persistent work that went into passing of the bill, with your great help, as well as the details of the peer ed training that we have been working on for 2 years now. It was a great opportunity to share the hard work that we all put in and continue to put in to take action towards an overall healthier and intentional lifestyle. Speaking of the peer ed training, I am currently interning for Live More Screen Less to kickstart this training. For the past month, I have been working closely with KK Myers and Amy Webster on breaking down each of the 5 dimensions of well-being and carefully crafting the material and content for each dimension. I want to continue being an advocate for myself and my peers as we grow up in a technology-led environment. This training is crucial for students to participate in because it not only offers ways to combat screen misusage and implement healthy habits, but also allows young people the space to freely share and discuss how they have personally been affected by digital media, and then in turn, relate to their peers and become peer leaders. Last year, I mentioned how I received my first phone when I was 10 years old. My niece received hers at 8 years old. The quicker we provide resources for students and young people to help improve their mental health in relation to digital media use, the quicker we can combat the negative effects. At the rate of the spread of technology in our current society, young people will most likely receive smartphones and other devices earlier on in their childhood, which should be all the motivation we need to prevent any potential long-term effects as a result of screen misuse during a time of crucial brain development. I again want to thank you for your time and support as we continue to be agents of change to better our society and world. Thank you.
Ms. Robinson, I have you on the list here again. Was that kind of a combo? It says intern on the other part of the list. It says
yes.
Intern. That was kind of a combo.
Senator Chamberlain, we have our closer right here.
Oh, is she going to come back up and close?
Yes.
Okay, all right. All right. Thank you very much, and thank you for your help and work on the team. Next up, so we have four people from Faribault Public School Partners. Is that it?
That's correct.
Okay. Where are they? All right. Well, come on. Whoever wants to, I'll say, so I want to give you time. So 3 minutes? That'll do? I don't want to, and you're all up here. Did you all want to have a word? Is that true? Okay. All right. Please welcome the committee. Please state your name and your role with the organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Chamberlain, a member of the committees. I am Tracy Corcoran. I'm the Director of Teaching and Learning for Faribault Public Schools. And I am excited to speak on behalf of our partnership with Live More Screen Less.
which started back in 2019. And so when you think back, our partnership actually started pre-pandemic, and it came out of a need for our students and staff to work together to understand how do we manage cell phones in the classroom. And looking back, that seems really simple compared to where we are today as we navigate the complex world of education and keep digital well-being in the forefront of our work. And so we're incredibly grateful as a district to have KKMRE and all of the Livemore staff as partners in this important work. When we think about the impact that they're having across Faribault, we have had them in staff trainings. We have had them in family trainings. They continue to provide content for us with just simple strategies that really get to those five strands of well-being. And this isn't just a youth problem, although I greatly appreciate your support and legislation and funding around this important topic. This is an adult problem. And so as I stepped into the room and watched all of you get connected in a hybrid world, that's our reality. And so how as educators are we going to make sure that our students are future ready, making sure that they have access to technology, have the skills to not only communicate effectively via technology, but also still have those interpersonal skills that our employers locally are telling us our students are lacking. We know the pandemic just elevated that need, and so we're incredibly grateful that this partnership allows us to have an intentional focus on how we use technology in our classroom, not completely eliminating technology. That's not our reality, nor is that our goal. But in addition to really that intentional use, we all want to make sure that we're also monitoring the impact. So are we using technology as a vehicle to allow our students access to more content, opportunities to go deeper in their understanding, opportunities to collaborate beyond the four walls of a classroom? And so as we really think about the overall well-being of our students, that is why we chose to partner with Livemore, and the impact that this partnership has had is being felt across our community. And so for that, we're very grateful. And I want to make sure that my colleagues have time because they're going to be able to provide you more specific examples of how their work has impacted our students, our staff, and our community of Faribault.
Thank you, Ms. Corcoran. Thank you very much. Next on the list, I have Casey Rutherford. Before Mr. Rutherford speaks, was there an MDE, someone from department here today? Oh, okay. Well, before I forget, we have our differences. I just want to thank MDE for working with the organization and getting the grant out and managing it effectively, efficiently, and making sure they can get the dollars and do their work. So I thank MDE for their efforts on that. Thank you, Mr. Adosh, Mr. Uni. So, sir, welcome to the committee. Please state your name and your role with the organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain and members of the committee. My name is Casey Rutherford, and I am the Director of Educational Technology and Innovation for Faribault Public Schools. To take on from where Tracy left off, my work with Faribault Public Schools deals directly with staff members who then deal directly with students. In particular, I run a technology committee that helps set the direction for what we're going to be doing with staff and with kids. And in that committee, we've been working directly with Livemore for now more than a year to help train ourselves on strategies, terminology, these pieces that we can help use to work with children and help them to make good decisions. So I would like to read from you the mission statement that my staff developed, that they insisted on including digital well-being as a part of that mission statement. The Faribault Public Schools Technology Committee seeks to improve teaching and learning with emphasis on digital well-being and technology use rooted in active learning, engagement, meaningful learning, and social interaction. The work that we've done with Livemore has directly impacted staff in giving them strategies to work with kids. A great example is you're going to hear from Biz Daniels in just a moment here, a teacher who has brought these strategies to her classroom to help students with these ideas that we're struggling with these days. Additionally, they are going to be implementing a group of student leaders where these leaders are going to work with other students in the district and really bring strategies to the forefront of how do we as students, as teachers, as a staff, as a community, how do we tackle the issues of technology and the pieces that are difficult for us to wrap our minds around the impacts. Additionally, on a personal note, I've been in education for around 20 years, and we've gone from using overhead projectors to handing every single student a device. And as we've handed students these devices, we haven't really thought through all of the possible collateral damage that could happen in giving students unfettered access to technology. And for me personally, working with LiveMore has given me the vocabulary, the strategies, the research, to be able to wrap my mind around what can we do to work with parents, to work with students, to work with our staff. How can I personally impact those folks who then go on to directly impact children? So I have very much appreciated their work in Faribault Public Schools and the impact that it's having on our children. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rutherford. Thank you very much. Next up is...
Chair Chamberlain?
Yes, who do we have?
What's Senator Kunesh over here.
Senator Kunesh.
Could I just have a quick question for Mr. Rutherford? Thank you. Thank you, Chair. So I didn't get to introduce myself, but I'm Senator Mary Kunesh. This is my second year in the Senate, though I was 4 years in the House, and retired from public school teaching just last year after 25 years, and 20 of those years as a library media specialist. So I understand your whole technology program that you're going on. My question for you is, does your school district have licensed library media specialists either at the elementary, middle school, or high school?
Mr. Rutherford?
We do. I will say that they're not under my department. They're actually under Tracy's department, and so she can speak a little bit more to that. But we do have media specialists in all of our buildings.
I have further questions on that. All
right. Senator Kunesh?
So, within the role of a library media specialist, I remember that it was my part of my curriculum and my responsibility to teach responsible use of technology and to do all the whole gamut of that. I'm wondering if this program is working in conjunction with those library media specialists, or is this something that runs parallel to that?
Absolutely. And In fact, we are looking at how can we expand past, I wouldn't say just doing it in the media center, but how do we include all teachers in bringing digital citizenship to our students? And that's being done in a conversation starting with the media specialists and the work that they are currently doing, bringing in LiveMore and their strategies and their work, and then and pushing that then to teachers as well.
Thank you. No more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rutherford. Thank you, Senator. Biz Daniels. So Ms. Corcoran is going to be Ms. Biz Daniels.
Thank you, Senator. I am honored to speak on behalf of Biz Daniels, who couldn't be here with us today. I just want to elevate the fact that our teachers are working incredibly hard, and all of the educators are experiencing things that we were not trained for. And so I think this is just a really great testament to how these strategies are happening with students each and every day. As a classroom teacher and literacy coach at Faribault High School, in addition to being a member of the district's technology committee, this is where I met KK and Marie, and my work with them began. Their work has been crucial in our district for raising awareness around how technology affects our students, far beyond the academic frustrations we are witness to in our classrooms. They have personally supported me and many other educators in Faribault to be reflective about technology's effect on our own lives. This has allowed us to develop empathy for and understanding of what our students cognitively, emotionally, socially, mentally, and physically carry every day because of their relationship with technology and the pressures in their lives.
My recent and continuing education on digital wellness with Live More Screen Less significantly impacts my life and my work in two ways. As a classroom teacher and in my work with other teachers as an instructional coach. Through some coaching and resources provided by KKMRE, I have recently begun to incorporate goal setting and reflection around technology and its effects on our cognitive well-being in my college-level English language arts class. I was struck by the many emotions as some students shared a total lack of awareness regarding their relationship with their personal devices, while others shared personal stories about how their devices and social media have increased frustration, anxiety, sleep deprivation, social isolation, and addiction in their lives. One student mentioned that she planned to talk to her family about turning her phone off for a day or two to see how her overall well-being might improve. It was encouraging to hear that the conversation could move beyond our classroom and further into our community. Another student confessed that they retreat to their phone in school environments where they don't have close friends present. Consciously turning to their isolating device rather than engaging in academics or new in-person social interactions, a habit that has increased since the pandemic. There's still so much work to do, and I believe this work needs to happen in a systematic way. I'm grateful for the support we have from Live More Screen Less to continue our work as a district. The second way Live More Screen Less personally impacts my work is my position as an instructional coach. My role allows me to work personally with many teachers in our high school and district-wide by providing professional development. KKMRE's work is so student-centered, it directly connects with what we know as educators about social-emotional learning and creating environments that foster student growth. Their training has become a part of my coaching lens as I collaborate with teachers on building culture, community, trust, and student ownership in the classroom. Thank you again for allowing me to share about the work that I have been doing in collaboration with Live More Screen Less. Educators everywhere have been feeling the urgency to address digital wellness for a long time, and the pandemic has only increased the seriousness of this crisis. I'm incredibly grateful for your support so organizations like Live More Screen Less can reach educators, students, and their families, as well as their communities with knowledge, strategies, and hope. At times, the steps feel small when our technology world advances so quickly, but I try to keep in mind that every step we take is worth it because every student is. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cochran, on behalf of Ms. Daniels. Next is, I hope I get this right, Hanan Muhammad. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and your role with the organization for the record. Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain. My name is Hanan Mahmoud, and I appreciate having the opportunity to testify on such an important topic. Can you guys hear me? Okay, is that better?
A little close. There you go.
Thank you. All right. I work at Faribault Public Schools. I have worked with youth in varying capacities. First, as a RISE coordinator, a program at Faribault High School that teaches social and emotional skills in college and career readiness, geared towards students of color, first generation, and low-income students. I'm currently working as a family and community engagement specialist at Jefferson Elementary School. I will be speaking with these two perspectives in mind. Students rely heavily on technology, from their cell phones to their gaming devices, iPads, laptops, the TV, you name it. The youth we interact with on a day-to-day basis have not known a world without technology. Their lives are consumed by technology and their well-being is greatly affected, either positively or negatively. Some positive effects students have shared with me and that a lot of us can agree with are that they find communities that they can relate to. They can stay in contact with their friends and complete their schoolwork, mostly on time. They also have the world's knowledge at their fingertips. Negative effects likely seen by all of us and expressed to me by the high school students that I've worked with in the RISE program are that students don't know how to express themselves without their technology, and that their identity is mingled with it. My role at the high school, in part, was to keep students on track for graduation, which at times meant that I had to remind them to get off their phones and focus on completing their work, which honestly was quite the task. On one of my many tangents about how much of a distraction their phones are and how they can use their phones as a break tool, one student said that she saw her phone as an extension of herself and I haven't been able to forget that since. Other students have expressed to me that once they received the cell phone, their in-person communication decreased. Too many of them lack interpersonal skills, and additionally, feelings of loneliness have increased, along with stress and anxiety and worry. As adults, it is our duty to help youth navigate this territory, and that is why Live More, Screen Less is so essential, and your support of it is vital and greatly appreciated. Live More, Screen Less noticed a problem, and that our youth's well-being is suffering from the misuse of technology. Live More, Screen Less has done the proper research to cooperate the negative impact of technology on the well-being of youth. Digital well-being is crucial in allowing youth and adults to take back their lives and learn how to best deal with this ongoing crisis, because that is what it is, a crisis. The approach of Live More, Screen Less is tackling this crisis. The approach of tackling this crisis, is incredible, especially because of the involvement of youth in problem solving. They've interviewed youth, they have a youth board, and now they're working on creating a digital well-being peer group at Faribault High School, so students can learn from each other and by each other. Youth have strong voices and great insight. Including them in creating a solution is exactly what needs to be done. Additionally, Live More, Screen Less has taken the time to train adults in the community about the importance of digital well-being and the impact of misuse. We can all admit that the last 2 years have been collectively tough on the world and has led to many mental health challenges for adults and youth alike. I have witnessed youth being turned away from mental health institutions because beds were full. The pandemic has made youth rely even more on technology, and their mental health is deteriorating, and we've unfortunately lost so many young people. The suicide rate among those aged 10 to 24 has increased nearly by 60% between 2007 and 2018, according to a report released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We'd be naive to think that social media didn't have a role in some of those losses. Not only is Live More, Screen Less creating awareness, but they're also providing training and the necessary tools to cultivate an environment where our youth can live a life where they don't rely on technology and are able to practice digital well-being through intentional use of technology. Thank you for giving me the platform to speak on this, and thank you for your continuous support of Live More, Screen Less.
Thank you very much, Ms. Muhammad. Senator Uyghur, you have a question?
My last name is Muhammad, yes. By the way.
Yes.
Mahmoud. Okay, thank you. Yes, Senator Uyghur, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Mahmoud.
You get an F1 there, buddy.
Mr. Chair, Ms. We're echoing.
Sorry.
How are we doing now? Okay. Mr. Chair, Ms. Mahmoud, thank you very much, and if you could comment about working with parents, chances are the cell phone that when you talk to the students was given to them by their parents, and the responsibility and what you're sharing, the buy-in. And you also, in your title, you work with the community. It takes a village. And talk a little bit in addition to working with the student, but with the parent. We've had great testimony about the teachers and staff, but parent and the community. Thank you.
Ms. Mahomu?
I work mainly with Somali families, and being immigrants, they don't really know the effects that technology have on their kids, and they want them to fit in so badly that because everyone around them is giving their kids phones, they also just gave their kids phones. So my job in two part is saying, hey, yes, everyone is doing it, but misuse is obviously bad, for lack of a better word, and this is how it's affecting your kids. So I need to toggle that, the language barrier, and again, just being immigrants and not really understanding technology or learning to navigate this country in general.
Senator Uyghur, is that good?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And follow-up, I think I asked about the community as well in general. Other organizations, whether it's the faith community, the businesses that sell these, et cetera.
Ms. Mahmoud?
I currently haven't done anything with that. I am new to the position, the family and community engagement specialist. So hopefully I can speak with Live More and Screen Less, and we can come up with trainings to involve the whole community and maybe faith places as well.
Thank you.
Senator Chamberlain, if I can just address that for a minute. Myers. Senator Wieger, thank you for your questions. Just recently, we held a workshop for the FACES leaders, and those are the family-facing leaders like Hanan. And in that, we were able to hear directly from that group what are barriers that the parents and families are facing, and then work alongside them for the communication that they can bring home. Additionally, Live More, Screen Less is providing communication that principals are giving out to their teachers and to their parents and families as another way to approach that. And we also know that, and thank you, Marie, and we are working directly with the school to listen to their affinity groups and holding listening sessions, particularly with the Somali families, the Latinx families. And I appreciate your question, and I also want to draw attention to our model, which is the whole school, whole community, whole child model, knowing that we all have a role to play. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. So now, I think what you had mentioned, Ms. Robinson, is, as you say, closer, the closer. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Your name.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain, members of the committee. Again, my name is Danielle Robinson. We want to thank you again for taking the time to hear us and for actively being advocates for young people and mental health. In January of 2021, I encouraged you all to acknowledge and become educated on the effects of technology misuse. This year, I am encouraging you to continue to work towards combating these issues that are negatively impacting our mental health and the education system. The positions that you stand in grant you the ability to take large-scale actions that significantly help us provide the resources necessary for young people to improve their mental health and lifestyles. You can be of influence, as KK mentioned, in your communities, offices, or when you communicate with your constituents. Your ability to pass laws is inspiring and truly life-changing. Anything that you can do to help shift the outcome of how we interact with our screens and how they impact our well-being is worth doing. We all have a role to play, and I urge you to continue making this a priority in yours. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Robinson, and Ms. Myers, Marie, and Ms. Hampton, and everybody else who came down. Said it many times, it's hard to say it too many times. It's so important in the work that you're doing to get the word out, and from your explanations and the report, it looks like word is getting out. It's hard, it's not easy, but you got an amazing group, highly qualified, I'd say, to do the work. So thank you so much for the work you're all doing. You all know it's vitally important. I won't get into any editorializing about the social media world, but it's vitally important. Thank you so much, and we'll talk soon, and God bless you all. Members, any final comment?
Go Tommies.
The what?
I just want to say go Tommies.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Members, we'll see you again on Wednesday. We'll be talking reading, the other most important thing in the state. Thank you very much, and have a good day. We are now adjourned.